When it comes to those foreclosed homes, Florida is not out of the woods yet. That conversation is just ahead. Good Wednesday morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. First Coast Connect is always live on the radio and now never miss a show. Catch our daily podcast on iTunes. Just ahead, we want your calls on Florida's ongoing foreclosure woes. Are you having trouble? Give us a call. We have an expert in studio at 549-2937. Then later, you have cardiologist Timothy Patrick on his new book about heart health, Invest in Yourself. Plus, Mimi TV's Jim Alabiso. All of that ahead. But first this hour, with Florida still leading the nation in foreclosures, this week the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, announced it's trying to help by providing grants to support dozens of housing counseling organizations around the state. This type of support is so badly needed, according to those who've long fought in the trenches of the Sunshine State's foreclosure wars. 500,000 homes around Florida, at a minimum, are still underwater or in foreclosure, including many thousands in our area. Here with the latest and some other potentially good news, we welcome foreclosure defense attorney Chip Parker of the firm Parker & Dufresne. Hi, Chip.
Hey, Melissa.
And, of course, you also served on the city's foreclosure task force. And we want your calls on the state's foreclosure crisis. Have you gone through a foreclosure? Are you trying to avoid one? How are things with your housing? Give us a call, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email and tweet the show. Or you can just comment on our Facebook page. We're already getting your comments there. And so, Chip, right off the bat, is it good news that HUD is stepping in with these grants to housing organizations around Florida, including several in our area?
Well, it's always great to see the government pay attention to the foreclosure crisis, even at, you know, at this late stage. And one of the things that's actually very interesting about this is that those people that have an FHA foreclosure, face-to-face HUD counseling is an absolute requirement by the bank before they can initiate a foreclosure. And currently there's an appeal pending before one of the districts on that very issue. And I think that the appellate courts are going to say, absolutely, you can't foreclose on an FHA loan without HUD counseling.
At the same time, Florida continues to lead the nation in foreclosures. We tend to think of this crisis as having passed, but as you see with your clients every day, it's not over. It hasn't passed fully.
No, as a matter of fact, I do a number of different things in my practice, but the number one consultation that I still have is regarding foreclosures.
And so give us a sense of what it's like here in Northeast Florida.
Well, the problem is that we started modifying mortgages a number of years ago, actually right around 5 years ago, and pursuant to the Home Affordable Mortgage Program. And this was an agreement between all the mortgage servicers and the government. When the government bailed out the mortgage servicers in 2008, the servicers agreed that they would analyze everybody's home for a modification. And they started doing that in 2009, 2010, 2011, and on. But those first 3 years was really when the vast majority of those modifications took place. The interesting thing is that the interest rate on those mods stays fixed at a very low 2% on most cases for the first 5 years, and they start to tick up in years 6, 7, and 8, and then they cap out. So what homeowners are now starting to experience, those mortgage mods are now starting to get more expensive. And I think we're going to see a corresponding increase in defaults and a new wave of foreclosure, albeit nothing like the catastrophe of 2009, 10, and 11.
So we are going to see an uptick once again, the last thing anyone wants to hear. But at the same time, as you've explained to me, this program around the state of bringing in retired judges to speed foreclosures through so-called rocket dockets, that program is about to sunset. Is that right?
Well, that is the well-documented rumor that has been circulating between the courts and the attorneys, and we've been told that the legislature will quote-unquote defund these retired senior judges throughout the state of Florida, which quite frankly, I think is good news.
And lots of calls for foreclosure defense attorney Chip Parker. If you've had issues with a short sale or a foreclosure, or you just have questions, give us a call at 549-2937. These HUD grants went out all over the country, these housing counseling grants, helping people, basically helping people stay in their homes. But Florida, it seems, still needs this more than any other state. We are the hardest hit.
I don't know what the latest Realty Track numbers are, but I do believe that Florida is still number one in foreclosure, which is not the sort of number one you want.
Right, exactly. And what advice do you have for people out there who are struggling or going through this process?
Well, I always recommend really talking to an attorney who specializes in that sort of thing. Really focus on your big picture. Do you want to stay in your home? Is it so far underwater that you just don't see ever getting out from underneath it? Reach out to your lender because they are supposed to work with you. Sadly, the way the system is set up, mortgage servicers make more money servicing defaulted loans. A lot of people are always confused by the bill that they get, and they think that the servicer actually owns the note, and they don't. They actually work for the owner of the note, which may be a securitized trust who bundled together a bunch of these loans and sold them as securities on Wall Street. So really, the mortgage company that you're dealing with is paid to service your loan. And the way the system is set up, they're paid dramatically more money servicing a loan that's in default. So there's really no
incentive
to modify a mortgage and make it performing.
Yeah. 549-2937. Lots of calls on this topic as we go to Mason in St. John's County. Hi, Mason. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today?
Great, thanks.
Just wanted to inquire, you guys touched on it a little bit, but the funding issue that's set to expire in June, just wanted to see why you thought it was a good idea that they stopped the funding to the circuit judges.
Yeah, thanks, Mason.
Well, so the premise for bringing in the circuit court judges, the retired judges, was that Florida had a quote-unquote backlog of foreclosures. And the primary reason for the backlog of foreclosures, and all these numbers were thrown about how long it would take to foreclose on a home in the state of Florida, but, the misnomer was that somehow homeowners were delaying the process. The truth of the matter is that these foreclosures were being filed so quickly by lenders or by servicers who didn't have their paperwork together, quite frankly. There were questions about the ownership of the loans and proving things like who owned these loans. And so it sort of bogged down the system, and judges, rather than just dismissing these cases and saying, listen, guys, get your act together, get the paperwork together and come back to court, which is the way it should have been done. We gave the mortgage servicing industry a pass and we said, let's dumb down the rules of procedure. Let's dumb down the rules of evidence. If you just come to court and you've got the original promissory note, we're going to give you a foreclosure. Now, the problem is that you have these circuit court judges who are elected and that actually have accountability to the electorate. And those circuit court judges didn't want to have any part of that. So the idea was, let's bring in retired judges who have no accountability to the electorate, to the people that they serve, so that they can really, in essence, do the dirty work of the banks.
And that led to the so-called rocket docket.
Correct. It led to the rocket docket. And the sad thing is the judges really took a calculated, their strategy was calculated. When I say judges, what I mean are the retired senior judges. And I'm talking not just about Duval County, but really pretty much throughout the state of Florida. They took this strategy that we're just going to enter a bunch of foreclosures, regardless of the evidence. And those, you know, how many of these people are actually going to appeal our decisions? And for a while, quite frankly, the appellate courts were sort of complicit in this affirming those rulings without opinion, something known as a PCA, which is a terrible thing to do. But the judges really, the appellate court judges realized, hey, we've got to fix this system as the foreclosures start to die down. So they have now started, the appellate court judges have now started ruling in the favor of the homeowner, saying, wait a minute, judge, you cannot grant a foreclosure based upon this weak evidence. And we're now starting to see the appellate courts reversing a lot of these senior judges.
And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Florida's foreclosure mess. Yes, it still is one. We still lead the nation in foreclosures. Just as HUD provides housing counseling grants to organizations all over the state to help people with financial literacy, help people stay in their homes. Are you having trouble staying in yours? Well, give us a call, 549-2937. Ricky on the north side. Hi, Ricky. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes. Thank you for having me on the program, Melissa.
Sure.
I wanted to ask the question. In fact, you mentioned about the houses underwater. Now, how does the bank view that? I mean, of course, like you said, it's a servicer, and so they really maybe don't even care. But I'll give you an example. My house, I bought it for $75,000, and it's not even worth $30,000 right now. So I'm in a real bad dilemma as far as what to do. You know, should a person just walk away, or what should he do?
Ricky. Yeah, thank you.
Well, you know, there are so many people faced with that decision even today. They're even, you know, everybody's talking about the uptick in the real estate market, which is great, but those are really just in certain pockets of Northeast Florida. The vast majority of people are in your situation where your neighborhood is not coming back. There are many neighborhoods like that, and it is a difficult question. What do you do if you were looking at your home as a source of retirement, as an investment? It's a bad investment. If you're looking at your home as, hey, I love my home, I love my neighbors, this is the place where I live, and this is the place where I want to die, then really the value of the home is irrelevant. But if you're looking at it like an investment, you have to think like a business person. And if this were a stock, would you sell it?
At the height of the crisis, people were doing what was called strategic default. They just walked away from their homes. They just walked.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there were certainly lots of cases of that. And, you know, one of the other interesting developments in this area is that, you know, those people that lost their home to foreclosure 5 years ago that were backed by Fannie Mae. Fannie Mae hired a collection agency known as Dyke O'Neill, and Dyke O'Neill started filing lawsuits throughout the country, but primarily in the state of Florida. In 2014, they filed over 10,000 of these lawsuits, and attempting to collect the difference between the value of the property at the time that the house was sold at the foreclosure sale and the amount owed to the bank in the final judgment. Of course, the irony here is that during that same period of time, the attorney generals throughout the United States concluded that during that period of time, there was fraud being committed by the banks in getting these foreclosures. And the banks paid billions of dollars in what is known as the National Mortgage Settlement Agreement. So the irony is that they're taking those tainted foreclosures, recycling them, trying to get money judgments against consumers who thought that they had paid the price on their credit and lost their home and thought that was the end of it.
549-2937. Lots of questions. Here's Jenny in Arlington. Hi, Jenny. Hello.
Hi. I first went into foreclosure in 2008, and I immediately consulted an attorney, went through the whole defense of they had no promissory note, went through the whole thing that he's just described, as your guest just described, went to see a lawyer given to me by Legal Aid. So I thought I had all the facts going forward. I think if I had to say anything looking back now, I wish I had immediately gone to an attorney about a bankruptcy, Chapter 13, to protect my home. Because none of the so-called foreclosure defense tactics worked. It just went on and on and on. I even went to see your guest because I heard him on your show. No one really wanted to help me because I didn't have a great deal of money. So what I ended up having to do was, 2 years ago, had to file Chapter 13 in order to keep the foreclosure from going forward. What I experienced in the court is what you just described. The judge didn't seem to care that there was no promissory note. He actually allowed them to go back because they initially came forward with nothing. He allowed them to go back and create one. It actually postdated it to an incorrect date. It didn't even correspond to anything that was logical. So I experienced all those things, and I guess I'm really confused as to why does this continue? How can we be so many years into this, and we're still dealing with, essentially, I don't know, I feel like the banks have just become this insane criminal organization that we just go along with, that we just accept, and our courts actually seem to be giving some kind of tacit approval to their fraud. So the only thing I could do, because the foreclosure was marching forward for 7 years, was to go ahead and get that Chapter 13. And anyone I know who's in this kind of situation who began the way that I did, I'd have to recommend that they just think about that first, because it's the only thing I know of that was going to protect my home. Unfortunately, just about a week ago, I finally got a decision approving my Chapter 13 plan, which means I get to stay in my home, which I think most people would have left a long time ago. The problem was, is my father built this home. I grew up here, so it meant a lot to me. Like he was saying, more than an investment, it was where I wanted to live.
Right.
So I guess what I'm saying is, please, you know, if someone's thinking about a foreclosure defense, I don't know if that's really going to help you, but definitely get all of the facts about bankruptcy to protect your home while you're thinking about whether you want to stay there. That's all I really want to say.
Thank you, Jenny. And I'm glad you're able to stay in your home. Thanks for calling. This is so emotional for folks that have a connection to their property. What about her experience that bankruptcy is the only protection?
Well, I tell you what, the bankruptcy courts have evolved over the years in response to this crisis. And a couple of years ago, here in Jacksonville Division of the Middle District of Florida Bankruptcy Court, we started what is known as the Mortgage Modification Mediation Program. Now, understand that when she started her foreclosure defense, there was nothing there. Bankruptcy, Chapter 13 wouldn't have helped her for a number of reasons. But now, once again, in combination with the Home Affordable Mortgage Program and TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, the bankruptcy judges are able to step in and force the lenders to comply with the terms of TARP and HAMP, because under federal law, when a judge orders the parties to go to a mediation, they are duty-bound, legally bound to act in good faith. And the federal bankruptcy judges know that back in 2008, these mortgage servicers obligated themselves to analyze every single mortgage for a modification. And I will tell you that the Mortgage Modification Mediation Program works. It is definitely an option to defending your foreclosure. Once again, you should speak to an attorney that understands how this mortgage modification mediation program works and how it can help you.
Lots of tweets. Here's one from a local realtor, Phyllis Staines. Not seeing many foreclosures or short sales in our area, in contrast to this time in 2010, REOs, I think that stands for foreclosure, and short sales were 47% of the market. So at least there's an improvement in some zip codes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. There are pockets of Jacksonville. Obviously, we can point to those pockets, the beaches, maybe Riverside, you know, some of the more popular areas. But, you know, that leaves a lot of middle-class housing out of that recovery picture. There are certainly zip codes that are better than others when it comes to recovery. And so the other point is that you have to really focus on whether or not your situation is worth taking those extraordinary steps of either bankruptcy or defending the foreclosure. And they're all they're all going to cost in some form or another.
Here's a tweet from a listener. Florida cut affordable housing dollars from the Sadowski Act by putting those funds in the general revenue. How has that hurt?
I have no idea.
No idea. Here's another one. Stump the
listener.
Has your guest seen an uptick of people who have foreclosed buying homes again, or are they now renting?
Can you repeat that?
Are people buying again, or are they renting, some of your former clients?
Well, what's interesting is that a lot of my clients are actually taking the extraordinary step of filing a Chapter 13 bankruptcy and surrendering their underwater home in full satisfaction of the debt. Then they go in and short sell their home, because if you can short sell your home, you can actually qualify for a new mortgage at a market rate of interest much faster than if you lose your home in a foreclosure. And so, yes, we are seeing, obviously, a lot of our clients who are losing their homes. They have to rent because there is no other alternative. However, if they're smart about it, if they think ahead, then that gap of renting, if you really want to be a homeowner again, and boy, over the last few years, we've really questioned whether or not home ownership is even a good idea. It's certainly something that you have to put a lot of thought into. But if you want to get back into owning a home, I would say you avoid the foreclosure at all costs, just because it allows you to get Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac approved financing at a market rate of interest much faster than a foreclosure.
Chris in Jacksonville. Go ahead, Chris. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, Chip. This is Chris Anderson. I've been court appointed as a attorney ad litem in a number of these foreclosure cases, including some your firm has been involved in. I have grown suspicious lately that these banks are purposely trying to reduce the amount of homes for sale in the market. In other words, so many of these foreclosed on homes that could be sold, it just seems like they're getting boarded up and just sitting there until they rot and become unsalvageable. Is that in my imagination because of the work I do, or is there something bigger going on where the lenders and the note holders are trying to reduce the supply of housing available for sale?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, and we've certainly seen a lot of that in Jacksonville, although I don't know that we see nearly as much as you may see in other parts of the country like Detroit. But that is certainly something. And as a matter of fact, I have people that come to me and say, I want the lender to take this house. I haven't been in it. I don't want to be responsible for the damage that somebody could do to it. I don't like that it's dilapidated. I can't afford it. I wish the bank would take it back. I actually have those people who the banks don't even want the properties, and those sit in limbo. So there is a lot of weird stuff going on really all over as it relates to mortgages. Another interesting thing is in bankruptcy court, obviously, when you surrender a house, you're walking away from it, and in most cases, you're eliminating the liability to the banks. But certain banks have these enormous fines that they have to pay the federal government for doing illegal stuff. And one of their strategies is they will forgive a debt that has been discharged in bankruptcy because they can take a dollar for dollar reduction in their fine. So you eliminate a $50,000 second mortgage from Bank of America, and then, and I apologize, Bank of America, but that's just my latest example. And then they'll turn around and say, hey, we're going to forgive that $50,000 second mortgage. And I actually take the step of opposing them and saying, no, you won't. You're not going to forgive it because I want you to pay that to homeowners that need it.
Hmm. Interesting tactics.
Yeah.
Orville on the South Side. Orville, hello.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've had a question for the last few years, and I've never been able to get a credible answer. Hopefully your guest would be able to provide me with an answer. There's this thing that's called PMI, that all these folks that have these subprime mortgages used to pay or should have paid. This should have stepped in the case of a default or pay in case of a default. Why didn't this PMI or whatever PMI come into play when these folks walked away from their home? And I'll take your answer off the air.
Okay. Thanks, Orville.
Yeah, so PMI is or MIP, or it's Mortgage Insurance Protection, and that is basically an insurance policy paid by the homeowner and to pay the lender if the homeowner defaults. And those were people typically pay PMI on properties that where they take a less than 20% equity position in the property. So back in the day, we were doing a lot of what everybody realizes now are 80-20 loans, where you'd have a second mortgage who would pay the 20%, and therefore it would allow somebody to basically walk into a house with no money down. Now, for those people who didn't go the 80-20 route and they were lent more than 80% of the loan value, there was this PMI, mortgage protection insurance. And the banks have taken advantage of PMI. But understand, PMI is totally for the banks. It has nothing to do with the homeowner. And as a matter of fact, PMI companies have the right to then turn around and sue the homeowner, which seems insane. think about it. You pay an insurance policy, and then the insurer, if they make a claim, can turn around and sue you for they get an assignment from the lender, and then they use that to seek these deficiency judgments.
Let's go now to James in Riverside. Hey, James, what are your thoughts?
Hi there, James. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Go ahead.
A couple of things. For me, my house went into foreclosure probably in 2008, 2009. I went through a very lengthy legal battle where Chase Manhattan would kind of drag their feet through the court system. I was being represented by somebody down south. They finally, the judge here in Duval County pushed Chase Manhattan into the position where they had to go in front of the judge. At that time, they sent legal representation that changed three times during the course of this proceedings. When they finally showed up, the judge threw it out. So a year and a half ago, I get this letter in the mail from now the new current person that's controlling the loan. They say, well, we're releasing your loan. You're allowed to stay in your house. We're releasing the lien. At that point, about a week later, 2 weeks later, I get another letter from Chase saying that they've released the lien against my house. So where do you think that sits me legally?
Thanks, James.
It sits you in the catbird seat,
oh.
James. It sounds to me like you won the housing lottery. I don't know specifically what happened in your case, but your case actually brings up an interesting point, and there's something very relevant about your particular set of facts. People that were actually foreclosed upon, and then the banks took voluntary dismissals, because they do that a lot. Banks would realize that they aren't going to win, or they've got a serious issue. Would take a voluntary dismissal. Now, the question is, if you were sued and in that lawsuit, the bank accelerates your note and then dismisses your case, can they sue you again more than 5 years from that original acceleration? Because the statute of limitations in the state of Florida only allows a bank to sue on a promissory note 5 years after they accelerate. So if they accelerate in the first lawsuit, can they sue again? That issue is going to be decided by the Supreme Court of Florida this year, I'm pretty sure, in a decision known as Bartram versus U.S. Bank. It is definitely something to keep in mind. And you're probably asking, well, how often does that happen? You know, how often does a bank dismiss a foreclosure and then wait more than 5 years to file a new one? And the answer is more often than you would think. And I would get, my guess is there may be hundreds of houses here in our listening area that fall into that category. And so the Supreme Court of Florida is getting ready to make a decision which directly affects those people as far as whether or not the bank could ever foreclose on that property.
More to come.
Yeah.
It's not over. It's always fascinating to speak with you and always helpful to our listeners. So, Chip, thanks so much for being with us.
It's always so much fun to come in.
Thanks for joining us. And he's Chip Parker with the firm Parker and Dufresne in Jacksonville. Much more still ahead. Later, we've got a preview of Tonight with Jim Alabiso on Mimi TV. We'll tell you how you can be part of the live studio audience. But up next, a local cardiologist with tips on heart health. It's all in his new book. Right now, though, we want you to fund your favorites. Here's how.
Pick up the phone right now. We are at 353-9528, 353-9528. We've got about 4 minutes here in this First Coast Connect program to get you to the phones.
We need you to call to
motivate you. You've got Peter Hayden here, Michelle Corum. We are our news department.
Indeed.
And we are hoping that if you enjoy this program, which also contains a lot of news on First Coast Connect, that you will put a dollar amount on the support that you want to give to programs like this one. We have a lot here at WJCT, of course, but music and news, pretty of the big hitters.
We absolutely do. And this is, we know, is one of many of your favorites. First Coast Connect with Melissa Ross, a real gem, a real treasure for our listening area, brings you the biggest newsmakers, people from politics, from public policy, from arts and entertainment, everything that's happening around the Northeast Florida, First Coast area, Southeast Georgia. Melissa is going to touch on it at some point and take your calls. It's a real community platform. It brings you a chance to get involved, to get engaged, to get your questions answered. And this is what we bring you at WJCT. And once or twice a year, we come to you and ask for a pledge of support to help us do that. And we ask that you call now, 353-9528, and fund your favorites. And certainly, for many of you, this is one of your favorites.
Right. We have a goal that we've set of $80,000 for this spring pledge drive. It may sound lofty, but it is very reachable. We usually do get there. We're hoping that you will feel generous.
We're going to make it. I know we're going to make it.
And perhaps sign up for a sustaining membership. You know, the sustaining route is a good way to go because that actually shortened a lot of our pledge drives in recent years. For those folks out there who don't want to have to worry about making a commitment or a pledge that they have to send in every month, it's all done for you. So if you would like to learn about that, you can go to wjct.org and hit the support button, or you can call us as well, 353-9528. I also want to make a special appeal to anyone out there who may be in college, and which, as we know, Peter, is a time for discovery about yourself and the world. And
that's right.
if you want to learn about Jacksonville or the world at large, programs like First Coast Connect are perfect for you if you have an interest in current affairs. We hope to hear from you out there. WJCT and NPR News, we're here all the time, Monday through Friday, especially in the morning, and then again when you're heading home from class, perhaps. If you are a college student, we hope that you will, if you've discovered us, now step up and make a decision to support the station that you are learning from.
Become an active listener.
That's
become
right.
Become an active listener. And that, even if you're in college and or, you know, you have modest means, put a value on what you get from WJCT. You know, what's it worth to you? Is it worth 50 cents every morning when you turn it on? You know, that would be about a $160 pledge or so a year. Whatever it is that you can pledge. If you're in college and you can afford $5 a month.
$5, perfect example. Everybody can afford $5.
Right.
Yeah.
Cut out one latte at Starbucks.
That's it. Yeah. Sorry, Starbucks.
Make
a call of support. We are hoping to hear from you no matter where you are in your life. We know that we are always here for you. It's WJCT. And here are the numbers, 353-9528. That's 353-WJCT. You can also call toll-free at 800-722-WJCT. Thanks for your support.
And back to the show.
It's a disturbing statistic. 2,200 people die of cardiovascular disease in the U.S. every day. And when it comes to poor heart health in America, the numbers are staggering. More than 2 million heart attacks or strokes each year, 800,000 of them deadly. But we live in an over-medicated culture that tells us to live however we want and just fix ourselves with pills or surgery. Well, a First Coast cardiologist says it makes a whole lot more sense to just enjoy a healthy heart throughout your life and avoid all those risky and expensive procedures. Dr. Timothy Patrick, professor and director of imaging at UF Health, tells us all about it in his new book, Invest in Yourself, A Cardiologist's Narrative for Heart Health. Dr. Patrick, good. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for the opportunity to be here.
And so you really became passionate about this topic, so much so that you wrote the book on it. What motivated you?
So this has been a lifelong passion for me. And the book really emanated from the fact that going through years of practice, I realized I could only touch so many people per day. And a book gave me an opportunity to have a large audience who could share the journey of the book with me, hopefully feeling like they were with me when they read it, to realize that there are some simple ways to get a monopoly on their health. And it really boils down to some very often what people think too simple ways to do it, and that's by a healthy diet and a healthy exercise program, which can be individualized for each and every person. And it is important to think of individualization because we're all different. And as I talk about in the book, I see each one of us as an athlete. And that's always amazing to people. But each and every one of us can be an athlete. And why do I say that? Is because an athlete is someone who has a disciplined pursuit of a goal. Our healthy athlete goal is long-term health, without pills, stents, surgeries, gastric bypass, and all these things that in my mind, actually when you look at it statistically, don't really do what we would like them to. So if you pursue exercise and diet on your terms, you have an opportunity to achieve your own health. And it really does work, but it can be difficult for people to believe that. It seems almost too simple.
It really does. And for so many people, it's so overwhelming because most of us have gotten the message that you've got to eat healthy and it's good for you to work out, but we lack motivation and support. It's so difficult for so many people to even get started, or if they do start, to stick with it.
And I have really promoted the idea of becoming an essentialist. An essentialist is someone who gets more by doing less. And it's a prioritization where you sit down with yourself and say, what's my number one goal? And it should be your own health. When I give talks, I have a slide showing somebody running towards the grave, chasing money. And when you make all that money in the end, what you end up doing is spending it back to the healthcare system to get your health back. And I think 70% of the health issues that affect us as a society can be kept at bay through appropriate behaviors. Executive function becomes extraordinarily important, but it requires one to sit down and make their own personal decision. Every time I sit and have a 45-minute to an hour visit with a patient, I tell them, if this ends now, we didn't win. You must now go home and think this through on your terms and come up with your strategy based on our discussion. And I really have had some amazing results for people that will buy in. It's hard to get the message out, therefore the book, because the merit of an idea doesn't necessarily mean it'll be accepted. So we have to have a lot of public discourse, just like we're doing today, to make people aware of this simple concept of exercise and diet, which some people will say isn't so simple because it really requires a lot of behavioral change. But once you get used to it, it becomes who you are, and it gives you a greater sense of physical and mental well-being.
What are some easy dietary changes you encourage all of your patients to make? Because as you said, a wholesale change is tough.
Yeah, it is. It has to be stepwise, and I never ask people to do anything quickly. Simple things to do that will really help you is to get rid of all the sugary pastries and carbohydrates as a first step. Now, that's tough for people that have been doing it year in and year out, but it can be done with time because the carbohydrates are very disadvantageous to our health. I don't go overboard on prescribing diets. I actually never ask a person to diet. I never ask anybody to follow their weight. If you eat correctly and healthy, and there are many good, tasty, healthy foods once you get into it, and you exercise every day, weight will go away and you don't have to worry about it. You'll just notice you have to buy new shirts and new pants. And that's a good thing. And I think that if we don't get into this focus of diets, but we look at this as a health project, I'm going to do well for myself over time through these behaviors. And let me say one thing that's extremely important. Start slow and build up. In my book, chapter 28 talks about a woman who I met for reasons that weren't even really appropriate. Turned out to be one of the biggest success stories ever. Over 4 years, she lost 128 pounds. Not gastric bypass, a diet, an exercise program, and weekly emails with me to make sure we were winning the game. And in the end, the success was so great, she came in and she said, I'm firing you. I'm done with you.
That's the thing. By you writing this book, aren't you kind of putting yourself out of work a
little bit? No. There's too much work to do. And there's a passion of mine to get people to recognize that they can control their own health destiny through their own actions. I really believe in today's society, the way the medical systems are set up, you can't get that. I think that everything moves too fast, and you have to slow down, prioritize, build upon it for yourself. And I always tell people, I don't care where you are today, and it's not a 2-month or a 3-month process. It's a life process. And everybody goes at a different pace. And it can be done, and I've seen it, and I think we have to preach it, promote it, and do it together. It has to become a community project.
And you've been speaking all across the community. In fact, Doctor, you'll be speaking at the Ponte Vedra Beach Rotary Club May 28th. That's your next talk, right?
That's my next speech, yes. Yeah.
So look for Dr. Patrick there. And pick up his book, Invest in Yourself, A Cardiologist's Narrative for Heart Health. UF cardiologist and professor, Dr. Timothy Patrick with us. Great advice. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're back in a moment.
Relax around the clock with the music of your life. Playing great music from Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald to James Taylor, Joni Mitchell, and more. Relax Radio, WJCT 89.9 HD3. Learn more at wjct.org/relax.
Never know how much I love you.
WJCTnews.org is your source for the latest local, national, and international news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Podcasts of your favorite local stories and shows, the WJCT First Read every weekday morning, and playlists from all of our after-hours music programming. From your computer or mobile device, see it all at WJCTnews.org.
The Florida legislature is in session, and Capitol Report is your nightly connection to what's happening in Tallahassee as lawmakers debate and decide issues that affect all Floridians, such as expanding health care and gambling, protecting the state's water resources, private versus public schools, and prison reform. Hear Capitol Report each weeknight during the legislative session on this Florida Public Radio station.
That's Tuesday through Friday nights at 6:30 on 89.9 WJCT.
The Dinosaur Train is rolling into Orange Park. Thrasher Horn Center and WJCT present Jim Henson's Dinosaur Train Live, Buddy's Big Adventure, on Tuesday, May 12 at 6 p.m. See the beloved stars of the hit PBS series come to life on stage in your hometown for the first time. Join Buddy, Tiny, King, Don, and their family and friends in this fun-filled, interactive musical trip back in time. Tickets are on sale now at 904-276-6815 or thcenter.org.
Listen to After Hours to relax with music that spans the world in all styles from classical to doo-wop. Weeknights at 7, only on 89.9 FM.
Finally, this hour, it's your chance to be part of a live studio audience on Jacksonville's first ever late night talk show. Jim Alabiso, the host of Tonight, is going to tape this broadcast coming up at the Ritz Theater, and he's here now with a preview. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
This is so exciting.
I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. Now, before we talk about the show,
sure,
let's talk about you, Jim Alabiso, because many know you from Jumping Fish. You're a big advocate for the St. John's River. People know you for swimming in the river. How did you go from that to becoming a talk show host?
Well, actually, I've been in production well before I started swimming. We used to have a post-production house in Atlanta called No Bones, and we did that for a number of years. And actually, the mission that we're doing with the show is quite similar to the mission that we had with the post-production house. And what we saw in Atlanta at the time was that there was no place for artists coming out of SCAD or the Ringling School of Art and Design in Sarasota or the Art Institute of Atlanta to go. So we created a venue for these people. And that's what we're doing here, is we want to create a venue for artists to come out and show us what they can do, show the community what they can do, and talk about what inspired them and how they can inspire others.
And so that brings us to tonight with Jim Alobiso, premiering Thursday, April 30th on Mimi TV. That's digital channel 18.1, and it will stream worldwide on the live stream. You're going to interview some great guests and feature live performances and have a live studio audience at the Ritz Theater.
Sure. And yeah. Some of those guests include Yogi Amrit Desai, internationally known yogi. And we have a great story about how we met. Our next guest is going to be, you ready for this, folks? Melissa Ross.
That's right. I can't wait.
We get to trade.
Yeah, you're going to interview me, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm going to be really nervous about that because you know how to do this a lot better than
I do.
No.
You're going to do great. You're also going to have our own Al Letson on the show and,
sure.
and Bob White. Cameo appearances by Tony Allegretti, Barbara Colicello, many more.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Carrie Speckman will be here, Julie Watkins, and of course our house band is Spice and the Po' Boys, founded by our friend Mike Bernos.
It's going to be an all-star lineup. And so people that are listening right now, you want them to come and be part of the audience. How can they do that, right?
Sure. All you got to do is show up. We'll be doors open at the Ritz at 6 o'clock on Thursday evening, April 30th. And all you got to do is come on in. It's general seating. You don't need to buy a ticket or anything. Just come on out and please just applaud once in a while. Thank you.
Exactly. And this is part of Mimi TV Jax, and you can go to their website to learn all about the 24/7 Duval programming on TV.
Sure. The coolest thing about Mimi TV is that not only do we broadcast on the tower, but we say we broadcast local worldwide. And so you can listen to us or watch us on your iPhone, your iPad, your smart TV, your Roku, anything that can access the internet.
And when is Tonight with Jim going to be on the schedule?
It'll start broadcasting in June.
In June. So this is your people's first opportunity to be part of the absolute first show.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. Jacksonville now has room for a tonight format late night show, and the community has really come together to make this happen. This isn't just my effort. This is the effort of Mimi TV, the Ritz Theater, all our guests, the community, and so it's really more of a community event.
Yeah, definitely so. With a great host, Jim Alobiso, the host of Tonight, Mimi TV's late night talk show. The free taping is coming up at the Ritz Theater next Thursday night, April 30th. Just show up, be part of the live studio audience. I'm going to be on the show along with a lot of other really amazing people, a great lineup that Jim has put together, and this is a brand new thing for the city, so let's get out and support it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
See you there.
See you there, Jim. Thanks for being with us. And that's our show. Thanks so much to all of our guests and callers. Diane Rehm is up next. But right now, we want you to fund your favorites. Here's how you can do it.
Fund your favorites right now at 353-9528. Good morning.
Good
I'm Michelle
morning.
Corum
I'm
here.
I'm Peter Hayden.
With Peter. Peter, why is your name not Chipper? I want to know. You should be
Chipper Jones.
Chipper.
Chipper Hayden.
Yes. Peter is in a very good mood because we're making...
I'm in the catbird seat.
You are. That term was used earlier.
It was. I just learned it.
We're here during First Coast Connect to get you to the phones to fund your favorite. I hope this show is your favorite. I know it's one of mine.
For sure.
I learned so much during First Coast Connect. And it's hosted so well by Melissa Ross. And we are very proud of this show. If you enjoy this show and learn a lot from it, we're asking you to fund your favorite. Here's the number. Go to the phone right now. Jot it down while we continue to talk to you, and you can make the phone call during this break. It's 353-9528. That's area code 904, 353-9528.
That's right. Or you can go online, wjct.org, and fund us that way. You can do it with your credit card. Now you can do it with your bank account. Have your amount deducted automatically each month. It's good for us because we don't get charged the fees from the credit card companies. And it's easy for you because you set it up, set it, and forget it. So fund your favorites. Maybe this is your favorite program, First Coast Connect, every Thursday when the Spectator's on. Those two girls have a time every week, I'm telling you.
I enjoy listening to
them.
They're
a lot of fun. Exactly. Yeah. So maybe you enjoy that. You know, fund your favorite, call us up, tell us that's what you enjoy. But whatever you do, whatever it is, we need your contribution now. 353-9528. And
or perhaps you like the green segments that we have
absolutely.
Here on this show. And hey, this is Earth Day.
It is.
Is it not?
It is.
So if in appreciation of Earth Day and what you learn about the Earth and you're being part of a sustainable environment, you learn a lot of that stuff here on First Coast Connect because of the green segments. So
absolutely.
If you like the
going
green segments,
every week.
Going green.
Melissa has a going green segment here on First
right.
Coast Connect.
Always very informative. So you can fund that as well. 353-9528. And Michelle Corum here with Peter Hayden. We enjoy the program. We hope you will too. We're also raising money not just for First Coast Connect, but for all the news programming here on WJCT. Our goal is $80,000. We're at about $30,000 right now. So we have a way to go. But we want to remind you, too, that during this spring pledge drive, if you make a pledge of support of $120, that's about, what, $10 a month?
Yeah.
Which is an average, pretty average pledge here at the station. You can get an HD radio, and it's really nifty looking. They say you can hold it in your hand. Well, maybe two hands together. But it's pretty good size, and you can hear great music like Kodachrome, I'm hearing in my head.
Oh, yeah. Here's some relaxed radio coming up right now.
Talk about crystal clear and Kodachrome, and music-wise, you can get it right there on that HD radio.
Exactly. Right? Here's a taste of what you might hear on relaxed radio.
And the pledge of $120 will earn you that HD radio here on WJCT. You can
right.
listen to the classical station. You can listen to the relax.
Our regular broadcast.
The regular broadcast. And the so three things right there.
Right. And
all
our new
great programming.
Relax radio streaming music service.
Right.
So we're very excited about that. We'll get that radio into your hands for a pledge of $120. And we're asking that you do that now by calling 353-9528 or going online, wjct.org, and pledging at the $120 level.
Right. You can also consider sustaining us with a bank draft. That's lower processing fees that we have to pay. Of course, there's no credit card expiration dates to have to track. So consider that, being a sustainer, a monthly sustainer with a bank draft. It's all easy. You just simply go to WJCT.org, hit the support button. You can learn about it that way, or you can call us, and we have people at the phones to answer your questions about how you can make a pledge of support. It all helps us, so no matter what your amount, don't be shy. Get on the phone right now. Call 353-9528.
Do it for Earth Day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.